the stigmata rather than a punch on the nose. If you'd ask my father when he was 9 why he beat up a kid for calling him Little Bo Peep, he would have beat you up too. Not because you would ask in that superior way you always do, but because he couldn't understand the difference between hate and pain, and for that he'd sock you one. It had nothing to do with being a bonnet-headed shepherdess, forever afraid of wolves, or communist hiding in the chicken coop, forever coming home empty-handed. It was the destruction of the one word he knew better than any other that got to him. Imagine, 1952, summer, an overripe pear in each pocket, furiously defending his name and his nose, and no sheep in sight down the sweet leaf rows, no relief for the wretched in Maysville, North Carolina. He tried to picture himself leaving town on the sorrel's dewed back, early morning, the long-throated birds asleep in the sour grass, and the sorrel wading into the horizon, but all he could think of was a wonderful scene in a movie, and as always, would become a spectator of his own life. He would have thought that the other boys, Marion and Steamboat and the rest, shirt tails open in the wind, would let up, forget about it. They kept coming, waiting for him on the back road beneath the willows. Their fascination with seeing blood pour from a nose, even their own, became not just blood, but the reconstruction of it. Not love, but the forgetting. A yellowed calm breaking over the leaves and their faces as dusk did then. This was not dusk or locust, though. It was the yellow that memory brings to a place. Carrying a kerosene lantern lit for a boy stuck on the roof of a grain silo, too afraid to climb down in the dark. The yellow my father saw in his fists as he would light up one boy after another, like a cupped match, making whoever it was pay for the blood of his good name. Little Bo Peep, Poteet. It was a simple mistake to make, but what does reason have to do with instinct, with a stain on a boy's palm, the sow in her trough, bleeding out of her eyes for want of darkness, or rather, a light luminous enough to see the pear trees at the rim of the meadow one last time. The sick sow he fed mornings, combing the lice from her brow, speaking his own name as a question to her. Poteet? Our ruins follow us, that much he told me. Later, after our goodbyes and our kind sirs quickened in the clay, red at the heart of it, the deepest well of it, the sow that rubbed her ears raw on a fence post, long gone by then. Calm yourself, give in. And that is where you find him, in the fields, a muslin of rain delivering the ancient scent of tobacco. Where else would he be? Born in a field at the edge of a ditch, he would tell her. This is a story without surprises, the formality of a swallow's nest falling from the ruined rafters of a silo didn't confuse or sadden him. He just didn't want it anymore. A dying becoming dead, and the dear old summer washed up on the river's bank. Dear sweet summer, the stupid pig lying there. Fuck you, fuck you. You don't know him at all.